Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. We'll read verses 10 and 11, only a verse of Isaiah 55, as we begin a sermon series called The Gift of Winter. Today we consider the theme, Snowfall is Like God's Word. Psalm 55 is a very famous psalm, almost filled with proverb-like sayings. If you read the entire chapter, you'll recognize, if you've been in the church for any number of years, many of the phrases and the thoughts and reflections of Isaiah 55. We will focus only on verses 10 and 11 this morning in light of our sermon series theme. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. Listen closely. This is God's inspired word. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pause for prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we do pray that you would illuminate the scriptures, enlighten our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renew our wills. Give us an attitude adjustment for the coming winter. May it be grounded on your word, empowered by your spirit, embraced by faith, lived out in daily actions to the glory of our resurrected Jesus Christ. And let us all say, amen. Well, wintertime is a gift. It is. We sometimes miss the gift because of all of the adversity winter brings. You know, the snow days, flu epidemics, whiteout conditions, icy roads, cloudy days, long nights, feeling cramped in our homes. Once Christmas is over and New Year is here, it can be a long journey until the sunshine of spring. By the way, does anyone know how many days until Easter and spring break? Take a guess. 79 days. Wow, that felt like a lead balloon. 79 days. Now, a 79-day winter still before you may not plunge you into clinical depression, but most of you, no, all of you, will experience some form of discouragement during those 79 days. There's a story of Martin Luther once when he was so depressed, his wife grew so frustrated that she came to breakfast one morning wearing all black. And he asked, "Who died?" And she said, "Well, with the way you're acting, I thought God did." Well, when winter gives us the blues, listen to me closely, when winter gives us the blues in an unexpected way, it can draw us nearer to God and Christ. But you have to look at this winter through the eyes of faith. And so that's what the elders plan to do this month. We've been with the congregation over a decade as a congregation. We know the cycles every winter, so we're trying to advance prep for it. So they've invited me, as well as our guest preacher next Sunday, which will be Ken Smith, to speak from God's word about the gift of winter and to fill our minds with positive thoughts about the gift of this season. We've also planned all those fellowship activities as well, too, to keep everybody cheerful. The luau next Saturday, the shindig in 2 weeks, and our friendship banquet February 14. But as you noticed in our text today, the wintertime topic of our text today is snowfall. Snow. And that's a good thing. I'm glad the scriptures mention snow, because we in Hudsonville can expect, on average, 82 inches of it every year. Another trivia question: what's the national average in places that get snow? What's the national average? Anyone? Take a guess. Well, that's generous. It's only 25 inches. 25 inches to our 82. Ironically, snow is mentioned 25 times in the Bible to celebrate our national average. And today we've chosen to reflect upon Isaiah 55, verse 10. Look at the beginning words. It begins this way in verse 10, and it says this: as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. We're going to stop there, for that's our first point. So if you're taking notes, you can do that in your bulletin. Kids, you can even take notes in your kids' bulletin sermon notes page. The first point is that in the winter, God sends all kinds of snow. All right, God sends a variety of precipitation. He sends all kinds of snow. Now, our text here mentions two forms of snow. Well, precipitation, it mentions rain, and it mentions snow. But if you live in a winter-saturated climate like us, you know there's more. I don't know if there's enough Hebrew words to describe them all, so I had to look it up in Wikipedia. But Wikipedia mentions in a typical winter, drizzle, freezing drizzle, rain, freezing rain, mixed rain and snow, sleet, ice pellets, hail, and snow pellets. Now that's quite a variety of rain and snowfall in any given winter. And my most interesting experience with variety of precipitation came when I moved to the state of Michigan. The first time I ever went hunting in my life, it was opening day in Michigan near Baldwin. And on that single day, as I sat in the blind, as Matthew hunted from the blind, he hunted, I watched, we experienced in one day four kinds of precipitation in one day. There was snow, there was rain, there was sleet, there were ice pellets, and then it all ended with sunny blue skies only in Michigan. One day. Well, here the prophet Isaiah tells us that just as this rain, this variety of precipitation, this rain and the snow comes down from heaven, verse 11 finishes the thought by saying, so is God's word that comes forth from his mouth. Dear church, in other words, God speaks to us like a West Michigan winter. A West Michigan winter. You need to think about that during the winter months. The variety of ways through which God speaks to us. Sometimes God blows us over with a blizzard. Sometimes he stops us in our tracks with heavily fallen snow. Sometimes God slows us down with the freezing rain. Other times he quiets our hearts with the tap, tap, tapping of sleet on our roof. Sometimes he shocks us with lightning in a winter thunderstorm. Other times he mixes it up with snow, then rain, then snow again. Sometimes God shatters things with hail or breaks branches with freezing rain. But above all, as certainly as the rain and the snow fall in a variety of ways, God speaks with the same variety. Our text tells us that God speaks to us through the Bible, through God's word. Have you ever noticed how much variety there is in the Bible? Almost as varied as a West Michigan winter. Sometime when we need it, God thunders at us with his law. Other times, God soothes us with his psalms. At times, in our ignorance, he needs to teach us with his letters. When we need guidance, he guides us with wisdom and proverbs. When we need an attitude adjustment, he might startle us with prophecy. When we are feeling dull and apathetic, he electrifies us with signs, wonders, and visions. Dear church, God speaks. And he does it in a variety of ways, just as you will see him speak through nature this winter. Sometimes God does it through law or poetry or history or gospels or letters or prophecies, but God speaks. Sometimes God does it through sermons or Bible studies or memory verses or Sunday school, but God speaks. And the text tells us that God speaks to us with wintertime variety. So while you're driving around or walking around or this winter, you think about that when the snow falls, and then it changes into sleet, and then into hail, and then into ice pellets, in a variety of ways, whether rain or snow or all things in between, God speaks through his word. He interrupts, he gets our attention, he slows us down, he even brings us to a complete halt. Now, one way to experience God this winter, not only by enjoying this wide variety of precipitation we will enjoy, but is to also draw near to Christ through the variety in his means of grace. Wintertime is a great time to join a Bible study. If you've not joined ours yet, you can join today, this morning even. If you've not yet stopped, it's our second week. You can join a midweek group. The ladies begin afresh this week, and our Bible studies have just launched. Or while you're shut in at home and feeling a little cabin fever, you as a family can read your Bible a little bit longer around the dinner table, especially if you're shut in. You can work on learning your memory verse from the sermon series and hide it in your heart. I actually have a bag of wintergreen lifesavers to give to kids and adults and teens who can learn our memory verse. God is speaking. The question is, are you listening? Think of that next snowstorm as surely as the rain and the snow falls in the winter. God speaks in a variety of ways. Get on board. And so this brings us now to our second point. The first point was there's a variety of snow in the wintertime God sends. The second point is the benefits of all of this snow. The benefits of all the snow. Now, at times you may ask yourself, is there really any benefit to all of this snow? Well, you know, if you ask any environmental scientist, they will tell you there are many benefits to a good snowfall. Friday at presbytery meeting, I asked an old farmer at our presbytery meeting, an elder in the church, Martin Rubin, about the question of a snowfall. And he assured me, oh yes, Pastor, there are many benefits of a good snowfall in the winter. We hear about it here in verse 10. Look at it with me. Verse 10 says this. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return to it without watering the earth and making the earth it bud and flourish. All right, let's look at the benefits of winter. Firstly, we see here that snow makes the earth to flourish. Now, here's the shocker. Firstly, during the winter itself. Snow makes the earth flourish, as our text says, and it begins even in the winter. Now, I know you're looking outside and you're wondering, is there anything alive out there? It all looks so dead and barren and the cold snow blowing over the surface of the earth. I know it all looks dead, but that is simply not so, dear church. There is a lot going on under the snow in the winter. For example, have you ever heard of the expression, a blanket of snow? Snow acts like a blanket in the winter. Whenever freshly fallen, uncompacted snow covers the earth, it traps warmth and heat in the ground. Snow acts like insulation. It does so for plants, for crops, and for hibernating creatures. This winter, when you look outside and you see for every 1 inch of snow on the ground, it insulates the earth by 2 degrees Fahrenheit. For example, on one negative 14 degree day, a ranger measured the soil underneath 9 inches of snow, and he found that soil to be 28 degrees Fahrenheit. That's why in a storm, people can build a snow cave to survive a blizzard and stay warm. That's why snow in the winter is already protecting plants, it's protecting animals, it's protecting crops from the wind and sub-freezing temperatures. It even protects the soil. Martin Rubin told me that a good snowfall will keep his soil on his farm from freezing, it will keep the crown on the soil from cracking, and it will keep the soil from shifting. Otherwise, he said, if there was no snow, once it hit sub-freezing temperatures, the soil would shift and it would rip up all the alfalfa roots in his field and ruin the spring crop. Snow in the winter is protecting. It protects plants from dying, crops from uprooting, creatures from freezing, and dear church, the scriptures invite us to say, just like God's word. God's word protects and covers like the snow. When you see this blanket of snow this winter, you think about God's word protecting you. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because you see, Paul believes God's word protects you, not simply like a helmet, not simply like a sword, not simply like a shield, but also like a blanket of snow upon the earth. God's word will protect your roots. God's word will keep you warm. God's word will stop you from blowing in the wind. God's word will insulate you from all of the extremes, the ups and downs in the environment. There is a lot going on under that snow in the winter. And there is a lot going on in the human soul under the word of God. Both protect in the winter. But secondly, not only does snow protect in the wintertime, but secondly, snow waters the earth in the spring. That's what our text says. It waters the earth in the spring. During the spring, the snow melt begins to replenish all things. It replenishes our water supply, raises our water level, fills our lakes and streams, improves our groundwater. This benefits fish and wildlife, crops and forests, you and me. You know, meteorologists will tell us that for every 10 inches of snow on the ground, it equals about 1 inch of rainfall during the melt. And then, of course, if the snow is heavier and more laden with moisture and water, the ratio is even higher, 5 inches of snow yielding 1 inch of rain. And so snow in the winter is actually working now to provide us with much needed water in the spring. This is so important when you especially consider how thirsty plants are in the spring. Think about it. We all know that new seeds need moisture to grow in the spring, but what about those dormant plants? Yes, their roots have been dormant. They've not received much water, but likewise, there's something called winter evaporation. These dormant plants weather the winter but lose much moisture during winter evaporation. And so when springtime comes, they need this hydration shot in the arm just at the point when they need it. And that's what the winter melt provides, a shot in the arm. Listen to me closely. Future water when most needed. Future water when most needed. Oh, just like God's word. You see, the scriptures tell us that sometimes God's word falls upon us just like rain when we need it right away. And the water goes straight to our roots and we go, ah. Other times, God's word falls upon us like snow for us to store away for future use. The Bible says, I have hidden thy word in my heart, future, that I might not sin against you. I remember when I was 8 years old, memorizing Psalm 23 with my mother. Bless that poor saintly heart. An eight-year-old boy memorizing Psalm 23. I would stand on her bed and I would walk around and say the words out loud as she patiently sat there and let me do these crazy things trying to get that Bible verse into my head for Awana. I learned Psalm 23 when I was eight, but I needed it a lot later on. I remember memorizing 1 Corinthians 13 when I was 19. I was heading off on a mission trip and I knew I was going to be in close quarters with difficult, you know, social relationships. And so I said, I'm not going to do so well. I'm going to memorize 1 Corinthians 13 so that I can have a little love. So I memorized it. Showed up and those guys ended up being the most aligned men I've ever been with. They became college buddies for multiple years. I didn't need 1 Corinthians 13 so much then, but I needed it a lot later. I wish I could tell my pastor from long ago when I was 14, and I remember him preaching a sermon on servanthood from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about self-sacrifice. I still to this day, from 1982, remember the 4 points of that message because my youth group leader made me memorize it for a quiz. And I still quote it at myself when I want to give up. Some of you young people, sometimes you feel like you are in a blizzard of God's word. Some of you teens will say, 2 sermons a Sunday, Sunday school class, and a youth group devotional? Isn't this a bit much? Young person, you need 10 inches of God's word to hydrate you with 1 inch in the future when you really need it. Many of you know that a fast melt will cause flooding. And so the goal of all of this blizzard of God's word that you receive year in and year out is not so that it melts and floods everything, but rather so that there's a slow melt over your lifetime that slowly trickles water into the soil of your soul and percolating through bone and marrow, penetrating your heart when you most need it. That 10 inches of snow melt benefiting you in the future with a good inch of God's word. So let me review. Point one, God sends all kinds of snow this winter. We know it. We live it. Number two, there is benefits of snow many of us are not thinking about. And thirdly and finally, the text teaches us that this water cycle continues and continues. Our text tells us that this snow and rain are part of what we call the water cycle. Look at verse 11, second half, it describes it. It says, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now here is Isaiah's analogy. He says, you know, just as God sends water from heaven to earth and then it returns back to the heavens, so is God's word. Now, in science class or in scouts or cadets or wherever you might study ecology, we call this the water cycle. And it's pretty simple. We have to draw the picture for class. It's basically the sun heats the water, it evaporates into the air, and then it falls back down to the earth, and the cycle continues in a wide variety of interesting ways. Well, this water cycle accomplishes so many things. It achieves so many purposes, says the prophet Isaiah. Some of those purposes you can see in the cycle, others you cannot see. Think about it in the world. This water cycle causes life to blossom. But this water cycle also creates an atmosphere over our earth. The transfer of energy in the water cycle between solid, liquid, and gas as water goes, energy is transferred and it creates climate and temperature changes on our planet. Think about how this water cycle alters everything. The water cycle alters mountains and valleys and rivers and oceans and ecosystems and homes and habitats. This water cycle causes the wild variety of plants and animals and creatures and people to spring up all over the globe in so many different ways. It's because of that water cycle that we on this planet see the wind blowing. We see clouds colliding, temperatures changing, the world changes because of this water cycle. Sometimes you can see it directly, sometimes it's so pervasive you don't even know it's happening. But the point of the prophet is that the water will not return back to the heavens empty without accomplishing a great purpose. It will accomplish what God desires and achieve the purposes for which he sent it. And then the prophet turns and says, oh, by the way, so is it with God's word. God's word will never cycle down from heaven and back to him in the heavens without its effect upon the world. God's word will always come forth from heaven and it will cycle. It will cycle through the hearts of people. It will condense upon the human conscience. It will rain upon dry and thirsty nations. And it will also cause dust and desert to scatter upon those who do not believe. It blows the wind of human behavior. It creates climates of faith, hope, and love. God's word is published in books, minted on coins, weaved into culture, discussed and debated. It is learnt, then forgotten, then freshly discovered and learnt again. God's word is continuously moving in the preaching of the gospel in, with, and through this world. It is never vain. It is never empty, and most of the time you can't even see what it is doing. And so for all who believe, the water cycle of God's word will bring gospel fruit today and tomorrow. Look at the fruit. Verse 10 ends by saying, all of this so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Snow in the winter, dear church, brings bread in the summer and seed for the future. So I want to close by encouraging you to never lose faith in God's word. Like the water cycle around you, it will always do what God has sent it out to do. Sometimes you can see it, other times you can't, but it is always working, bringing a harvest, feeding for today, equipping for tomorrow, cycling through the world, underground, above ground, through streams, and through rivers and lakes and oceans until the final harvest day. So you think about that this winter. When snow covers West Michigan ground and it turns to sleet and then rain and it falls from the sky. Thank God for it and draw near to Jesus and his means of grace. Do so drawing near to his word with friendship, fellowship, hospitality until that agape love overflows, because, says the Lord, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire, achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, O Lord, for the season of winter, where the lesson of the power of your word is ever before us. Thank you for the variety of snow and rain in the winter and the variety of the ways you speak in your word. Thank you for the benefits of snow in the winter and rain in the spring and the present and future benefits of growth and protection from your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of the benefits that come as this water cycle continues generation after generation. Help us to draw near to you through your word and the means of grace. Bring growth today, protection today, and growth tomorrow. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.